each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, excuse me, wow. I was going to jump right in, but I mean, hi.
Hi, Father.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Tony.
Who are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good.
It's beautiful outside.
It's nice.
I hope and pray that this won't be a show like the other day. I just felt we were really,
you know, I was thinking about it
down and out
later on, and I tend to do that a lot. Just after the show's over, you sit and you think, it's life. That's what I like about even what we do here. It's life. You know, it's not scripted. It's not planned. You run in here. It's not like you have a lot of time to prepare. You're doing so much. And we kind of just, as the Spirit takes us, and sometimes we're feeling down, sometimes we're feeling happy.
And we bring everybody else down with us.
But true, but look at today.
Mystery loves company.
But look today. Today's a nice day. It's a beautiful day. You come in with a different attitude, and it's like, it's life. This is what life is about.
The ups and the downs. The peaks and the valleys. No.
And how we deal with them.
And how we deal with them. And sometimes we do so gracefully, and sometimes not so gracefully.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's really gorgeous outside.
Nice.
I haven't been out yet, but I can see it. And what I like is the leaves are on the trees now. So that's a good sign.
Although, who knows? It might snow. It might get cold again. They're saying that. It's going to get cold in the 30s or 40s.
Is that what they say?
Well, no. I don't know if it's so much 30s. I know it's going to be 50s.
I heard that they said this morning that tomorrow's going to be a little cooler. It'll get
40s.
It may get up to the 60. Oh, up to 60. So
yeah,
that's
not cool.
That's
a little
not
cool.
So that's cool. That's not cool. That's okay. Anyway, I was able to take a walk along the river. The river walk yesterday. It looked like it was a beautiful day. It was the sun. It was beautiful. The sun was shining in it with the sky. There wasn't a cloud in the sky.
Wow, that's nice.
But it was really cold and windy. But that's okay. As long as the sun is shining, it was worth it.
Yep.
So
sometimes
anyway,
just to get away a little bit, just to do something different.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, you gotta. We gotta do that. I hope that today will be a little bit a little lighter, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, this morning when I was praying, I was, again, you know, it's just like there's so much to do and things just keep piling up. And I just said, praying that God give me the space, you know, just to get done what has to get done. And I got a lot done this morning.
See,
but what
how it
happened,
works.
And so part of what was on my mind was the radio, because I did, I just got so much, I don't know where to focus.
Right.
You know, there's, I want to do this, I want to do that. And I went to my, after the prayer, still not knowing for sure which way we were going to go with the radio. And we never know. That's the thing,
you know,
we never know. But when I got to my office, I came across an article, the title of the article caught my attention. It says, Four Powerful Prayers for the Tired and Weary Soul.
Nice.
And I thought, wow, I need to look at that, because and that's how I was feeling, tired and weary. And the other day we were using the word somber and sad, mm-hmm. and all that for what's going on, the stuff that's happening all around us, the things we're confronted with on a day-to-day basis, almost on a day-to-day basis, one way or the other. And if you avoid the news, then you're better off. But if you're into the news, as I tend to be, and I think you tend to be, then you know, it can bring you down.
I find myself, I remember Jerry used to say, don't listen to that. And notice there's moments when I really want to do that, but then there's moments when, you know, you really want to know kind of what's going on.
Yeah, there's
some idea.
I think it's important. Yeah. And, you know, and I have to say, I feel like my days, well, there isn't a day incomplete if I don't go into, because I check the news out every day. But I have to say, you know, and I don't talk about, purposely, we don't talk about politics so much, but it really is unbelievable what is going on politically with the mainstream media. I happened to listen this morning to the president, President Trump spoke to the, it was on Fox and Friends. Mm-hmm. So I happened to catch that, not on the television, but I was... It came through on the
sound bites.
Well, it was as I was doing stuff, I was listening to the whole thing. It was a 30-minute segment.
Even better.
And the guy was the president. I shouldn't say the guy.
He's like a regular guy.
I respect the presidency. I really do. But that, you know, if he survives this, it's going to be absolutely miraculous. I mean, this man, you know, and I mean, he's got his rough edges, and he's got his. As we all do, and as somebody said, we didn't elect a pope. He's a president, and he comes with his baggage, and everybody knew what kind of baggage he had, or most people did. But you know, this he genuinely loves the nation, and he loves people. Some say he might be a narcissist. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to make that judgment. But he has a genuine love for people. And, you know, all this, and I know he's the culprit in a lot of ways because he speak off the cuff and he speaks his mind, you know, whatever he's thinking, you know. But so things come out in maybe not the most refined, most polished way. But I think it's part of the appeal as well. People like I say people because there's so many who don't, and the mainstream media, and a good portion of the swamp, as
he says.
I mean, they want this guy gone for sure.
See, this is the interesting thing I find even about the news in general. Now, we tend to. When you listen to news, there's always one side or the other side. That's understandable. Even in conversation sometimes, people can almost tell what you're saying or what you're thinking or your opinion, what side you're on. But I tend to, lately, look at this news thing as not really one side or the other. I'm looking at the side of what is right and what is wrong. To the best of my ability.
What is true, what's untrue.
Or what is true and untrue.
What's fake, what's not fake.
Exactly. And in looking at this, I'm just amazed that it's about this Republican, this Democrat. But I'm looking at the people and the things that are being done. Or the things that they want us to see that any smart-minded person with any kind of sense knows this is not true. And then I tend to, even when I talk to people, I've learned that sometimes if you go with whatever they're saying, you can have a conversation. But the minute you say something that makes sense, in my opinion, you get termed or you get labeled this or that.
Well, exactly. That's,
so, I mean, I'm trying to look at this from the eye of somebody that is not on any side, but just looking at this with sense. Or, you know, little bit of sense that I do have. And it's just amazing how one side can do one thing and there's not an issue, but the other side's doing the same thing and there's a great issue.
Sure, exactly.
I think this is boiling over to something that I have to just say I trust in God's hands.
I don't think we've seen anything like it before.
I've never, and I'm not, you know.
And so what are we talking about? I mean, I'm assuming everybody... knows, but I mean, it's, and I don't even know how to talk about it. And that's why we don't talk about it.
How do you talk about it without, again, being put in one of those two camps? But I guess if you try to do this in a logical thing, a crime has not been committed yet. All this investigation is going on. And if I was to be like a guy that's a judge, show me the proof. Where's the proof? I don't see any proof.
Yeah, I, you know, we
so how do you address
spend
it?
A lot of time on this, but it is, it's...
You just
it's,
scratch your head, because it's like...
It's entertaining.
It is.
It's frustrating.
If anything, it's entertainment.
It's entertaining, it's frustrating, it's head spinning.
Yeah, and it's like, in a sense, you don't really know what side to really trust, because you almost... And I think this is what this is an exercise in common sense. How do you look at this big situation and then have to make an educated...
Sure.
You know.
So having said that, I listened to this, listened to the president speak this morning. It was so funny. Actually, I have to say, the last couple of days, two things that have been very interesting, entertaining, interesting, and in a sense, when I say that, entertaining, what did I say? Entertaining, funny, is the genuineness.
Yeah.
The genuineness of this man who's got rough edges, he's got his quirks,
exactly.
But at the same time, there's something real about him.
Yeah.
And I watched the whole, the exchange between he and Macron from France.
Right.
And it was just...
I've seen that too.
It was really quite, I say entertaining and kind of funny. They had this wonderful
relationship.
It looked like, yeah. And it just seemed so, yeah. It seemed genuine, you know. And so this morning I heard him on, because Trump is just... The president is just who he is, you know? And in some ways, he's not in either one of those camps.
No,
that's the thing.
That's the thing that's amazing for me. And that's why, dare I say, that's the kind of like I have. When he does something extremely bad, then you know what? It might be a different opinion. I mean, I'm one that, you know, I don't like every president that I voted for or didn't vote for. And, you know, I'm also one that, okay, the election is over. This is my president. This is who I love or hate, in a sense. I judge him on what he's been doing. So, you know, I mean, I think that should be with anybody. Enough with this. Stop. Let's, you know, if we're not together, we're separate. And if we're separate, this is what's going on. And I just see this.
So this morning he just went off for 30 minutes. He's just,
I can imagine.
And it was just really entertaining, because I thought, you know, if there's anybody that makes, if anybody's making any sense, and if there's any truth, herein lies the truth. He's just calling it as it is.
Exactly.
And you sit there and say, well, why do people not see this? You know, and we're not going to cover all that stuff. We don't. But it's because today you don't know how. You know, people are super sensitive when it comes to the situation today in the political sphere. And depending on what camp people are in or whether, who they're listening to, basically.
Yeah.
But I do see the president as that he confounds the wise, the so-called wise of this world. He's not in this camp or that camp, and they all seem to hate him. Just seem to hate him, and. Anyway, we'll just leave it at that, but it's, I don't know why I brought it up, but I guess because...
It's going on, it's the news.
But there in the church, everywhere, everywhere. I was grappling with this morning, too, this idea of order versus, I mean, we try to live an ordered life. Certainly as Christians, we're called to order, obedience to the laws of God. And by the way, this is the other thing with the media, the self-righteous and this aura of superiority and, you know, better than thou, but just completely schizoid, you know, completely just blatant contradictions and all that. So it's, you know, we're certainly out of our field in the sense when we're in that environment. But the I'm talking about the media environment. There are certain individuals, no doubt, who I truly admire, and I tend to lean in their direction because I trust. You know, there are certain individuals I do trust. I'm not going to go into who or where or whatever, but there are those who
but
I.
Why do you trust them? Because you see something that's good. See,
well, I see what's good, and it resonates with my intuitive sense. You know, my intuitive sense—not just an intuitive sense, but also a Right. You know, you do read and you listen to both sides and
That should really be with everything. You can't really, you know, I look at it this way. People will disappoint you eventually somewhere down the line. But, I mean, and I noticed this even with Barack Obama. It was more like a messiah complex. And there's a little bit of this in Trump, too. That's the stuff I really don't like, that he's larger than life, that he's, you know. But there's a genuineness about people, and there's a way of looking at somebody where you have that feeling that you're going to be deceived. Now, you know, in one case, without, again, using names, one person did deceive. The other person may be doing that. You don't know until you see it. And again, you know, that's what every individual has to be able to do to know the good and evil.
Yeah, sometimes, you know? I like to delve into that, you know, but I can't, as a priest,
yeah,
I really can't.
You can.
But there's a part of me that would like to, because I do keep, I do watch and listen with great attention, and I have my opinions, and maybe some might detect what those opinions may
exactly.
be.
Exactly, and that's a shame. But again, like I said earlier, it's not a matter of one or the other. I think Father Loya says it good. It's not one or the other. Why can't it be both?
Hey, does Father Coyce, does he ever speak about this?
He gingerly tries to do it. He's gingerly talking about, you know, the priesthood. In ways that, you know, is something, again, it's a shame that you, as a priest, have to be neutral, you know? You might insult somebody, or somebody might get the feeling, and this happens a lot because of just some of the things we've discussed, how one could then be seen as preaching this or preaching that. But the thing about priests... The thing about you, if I should be so bold as to say it, because I can, I'm in church every Sunday. You can't take the truth of the faith and give your opinion, and you never do. You have to tell us what the truth is.
Well, you take what I misunderstood, because there's got to be, I have to speak the truth.
Right. You can't change what we believe, what is the truth. You can't, you know, you can't, there's no way of making that.
Like I said, we can't, we don't want to cave, we don't want to compromise.
Exactly, and we can't do that with the truth.
And we've got to bring into the public square our values, our morality, our faith, basically our faith. You know,
it's like that. Knowing my faith also, for me personally, makes me be able to look at a situation like what's going on in the world. See, I mean, I think even as Catholics, we don't know the faith well. You know, like some people, they can recite every quote and every, you know, parable,
sure,
whatever.
Sure.
But I think as Catholics, that's our job also, especially when it comes to the voting. I mean, I'm confronted many times, and I hate to drag this into a voting situation, but, you know, you got to make a decision, and you got to live with your decision. And that's, I mean, the more you know about your faith, the more that influences your decisions and just how you deal with life. I use Jesus as my example. I don't want to be like Donald Trump. I don't want to be like you, Father. I want to be like Jesus Christ. You, to me, show me what that is just by knowing the faith.
Yeah, so when you mention the president as being bigger than life,
right?
He does. I mean, he really is. He dwarfs everybody.
He should. He's a president of the United States.
Right. But I mean, he really does. But you know, for us, you know, of course, our person of reference is not the government. It's not the president.
Exactly.
But it is a Christ Jesus, and so we live from that point of reference, from that person of reference. At least that would be our goal, and yet we have to do that within the context of flawed and yet gifted and talented and intelligent humanity. So there's, on one hand, you've got very gifted people, very intelligent, very wise people, but you've got all these, but at the same time, extremely flawed.
Right.
We're not in heaven, you know.
No,
we're on the way,
yeah.
And we as Christians, you know, we're I would hope that we're disposed for the inner working of God's Spirit, so that we're being in a constant way, perpetually, we're being purged and transformed and hopefully sanctified, so that we can be, as Jesus said, we got to go into this this cesspool of a society at times, or into the in a sense, drain the swamp, as the president would say, into the but we do so as that light in the darkness, or the leaven or the salt of the earth. And so we've got to be those emissaries giving witness, emissaries of Christ giving witness, but exercising great prudence and temperance and justice and fortitude. Those are the cardinal virtues that are so important.
And those have to be learned.
But to live that within the context of this, the sinful and broken, wounded society that we are, and yet, having said that there is this this capacity for great good, and to even as a society that where you've got, let's say we look into the political realm, you've got these flawed individuals. As you look in the priesthood, we're flawed as well. But again, our lives, if we're not living with Jesus as a point of reference, if we're not living in Him, He abides in us, and in spite of us, that the Lord has given the space to work in us and through us, and if we're not doing that, then we're we succumb to the to what so many others succumb to, and so it's not it can be government becomes a god, money becomes a god. This ideology or that ideology, whatever it might be. And I don't know if we're making any sense this morning at all, but we're going to take a break and we'll come back and simplify things a little bit. I don't know how we even got into this. I guess it's because...
It's a conversation.
On one hand, you've got the stuff going on politically. Right. You've got the deception of the mainstream media, which is, and it really, really is. Mm-hmm. It's just, talk about a... And I was reading, I didn't read the article, I just saw the title of an article. I'd like to get into it, but it said that that worldwide there's this growing distrust and distaste for mainstream media around the world, because people are getting a little bit more wise to the fact that, we're being fed a lot of, as the president says, fake news. When I was a student, and I was a student in journalism as well, this is way back in the 70s, but we studied, the grave mortal sin of yellow journalism. There had to be objectivity, there had to be truth, you had to seek it out and report the news. That's gone.
Upside down.
It's completely upside down, completely. So before we take the break, having said that, that's just part of the stuff that I think people are stressed out over that, the political stuff, the media, a wide variety of different movements that are ever active in the society, and in trying to deal with one's personal life within the context of the family or the community, whatever it might be. And it just, so this idea that we are extremely, extremely stressed and looking for some repose, just rest, some respite from all this. Because I say even within the realm of religion, we get caught up in the political stuff that goes on, even within the realm of religion. And we're so divided, as a nation is divided, we're so divided. People are fearful as to even speak their mind, because you're going to get,
branded
one way or the other. You're going to be whatever. So I'll take a break. We'll come back after. I was in prayer this morning, and I just felt this just overwhelmed. I come out, and I see this. These four powerful prayers for the tired and the weary soul. In other words, how to refocus oneself and not lose that inner peace, which is constantly under siege. So we'll come back and we'll look at that. All right, everybody, don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We at Winds of Change thank everyone who donated during our pledge drive. Please keep us in your prayers and on the air by donating at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And click on the radio tab to donate securely to Winds of Change.
Thank you.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Peace and healing. Boy, I tell you, is that what we need?
That's what we need, right?
A lot of peace and a lot of healing. So, forget first segment. Anyway, I'm not going to go back into that. But
right.
How can you want to say what's really on your mind?
But you
and
can.
You got to be. It's even to try to be prudent is a challenge. But what we do need is we need peace and we need healing and we need to focus. We can't let all this stuff these things. Whether it be politics, whether it be the mainstream media, whether it be the stuff that's going on in our lives, in our families, even that when it comes to family, I keep thinking, they used to talk about the dysfunctional family, and I thought, more and more I'm thinking, is there such a thing as a functional family? but what it is we're wounded.
Yeah.
We're afflicted people, we're wounded people, and, it's by the grace of God that we persevere. I mean, people are dealing with a lot of things, and I get overwhelmed by it because I just feel like, use the word Messiah, and I mentioned it the other day. I hope I don't live with a messianic complex, which means, that I've got to fix this. I've got to make this work, and yet I've got this responsibility as a priest. That's why even radio is, by the way, on one hand, I enjoy parts of it. On the other hand, it's a little bit hard because I'm not refined, I'm not polished, and I am wallowing in this confusion. I feel like I don't want to let people down. I want to keep them on the right path, in the right direction.
Father, isn't it fine though? Because you can pretty much say that about anyone. I mean, I as a husband. I mean, yeah. Sometimes we want to make everything ours, or we want to be the one to fix. You think of even, wives too, or, in charge of a bunch of children. Yeah, we all kind of go through this kind of thing where it's, you want to be the one with the answers. You want to be the one to fix everything. And then sometimes you have to, and I think I find that part of what we do from our own experiences, from your experiences, and I'm sure from the people you talk to, and even people listening out there can relate. This is how we learn.
Taking seriously responsibility. We have a responsibility. What is our responsibility? Well, first and foremost is that we obey the commandments of God. I mean, that is repeated over and over and over in sacred scripture. Jesus, how often in the Gospels, how often in the epistles, in the letters, there's reference to the commandments of God. So that is our collective responsibility, is to obey the laws of God. Now, we're talking about this at a time when people have very little regard for God's law, because it means that we're God-centered, right? Mm-hmm. If we're God-centered, then we're going to be, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, that we're going to strive to live according to those laws. But, and it's not just, you know, there can be a sadness in just trying to fulfill the laws of God, but it's knowing that they've been given to us. As I say, the gift of faith is given in earthen vessels.
Yeah.
So we are flawed people. We're weak people. We're sinful people. We have an inclination, you know, to what we want, right? Mm-hmm. What I want. We don't want to bear the cross. We don't want to carry the cross. We don't want to bear the responsibility of I say we don't, but we do. I mean, I would hope that we do.
Right.
I do.
I think because, human is to not want to do it, but we do.
We do, but it's the point is that, you know, so we have this responsibility to each other,
mm-hmm.
as a people. And I suppose because we're all flawed, that maybe that's part of the tension we live in,
yeah.
is that everybody's trying to do it as best, we hope, as best as they can. And if they're really centered in God, really nurturing that relationship with the Lord, and the Spirit of God is moving through that person's life, then it's going to be all the more a great service rendered to other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to be grounded in what is really important for the welfare of the society and for the future of our civilization, basically. And this is all under threat right now, because when God is removed from the picture and we have no regard for the laws of God, then strange things happen.
Right.
Weird things happen.
And they are.
And so we call this the diabolical disorientation. Everything is upside down. So we live in that reality today. We don't share a common value system anymore, or maybe it's been redefined. But again, if we've dismissed or we've separated ourselves from God and from the laws of God, then it can go, and it is going in all different directions.
Yeah.
And so, what will it take to pull us back, so that we have a foundation upon which we can build this nation, or our families, or our individual lives, knowing that we're going to have to weather many storms? But as Jesus said, if you're grounded, if you've got this foundation, this rock, you build on this rock, yeah, the rain will come and the wind's going to blow, but the house, it's not going to collapse. The nation won't collapse. The family's not going to collapse. We as individuals, we're not going to collapse because we're grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to weather the storms together. We're going to work this out. And this is what we've got to do. We've got to work this out. So today in the society, there is so much division. So I don't know how well we're trying to, collectively speaking, as a body, as a people, united. We're so divided, that can we work this out? Anyway, let me go back to this, the
prayers.
The prayer, because I think because it really, the head does spin, and we do get stressed out. So much is going on. So what do you do? Where do you go? So you go into prayer, and then you're thinking about, wow, you know, I pray the rosary, I go to Mass, pray the rosary, pray the divine office. We got the chaplet, we got novenas, we got all kinds of things. And this is the beauty of the faith. This is something I'm extrapolating from this article called Four Powerful Prayers for the Tired and the Weary Soul. We become very tired, very weary. And you can see it, you can feel it in people's lives. And so what do we do as Christians? Let's not allow the faith to add to the tiredness or the weariness. And it can. There's got to be even a purging within the faith in our personal lives, in the life of the family, and in the life of a nation, if it chooses to respect and honor revere, adore, obey, fulfill the commandments of God, adore Almighty God. So this article was, it caught my attention because I was feeling, okay, tired and weary and stressed. Mm. And where to focus? Where to focus? There's too much coming down. And so this article caught my attention. And so she's speaking from just the perspective of prayer, and at, you know, this vast treasure we have in the church of devotions and rosaries and chaplets and novenas and litanies, one can be overwhelmed. Where do you start? And she talks about her own inability at times to pray the rosary. And so she says because she's stressed out, she's tired, she's trying to take care of the kids. This is a woman who's married. She's got some children. And so she said, you know, she had to, or to make a holy hour, you know, when there's not the time to do a holy hour. And so she had to begin to reflect on, and she spoke with others. She spoke to, I think, some priests, or just in conversations. We're having a conversation here. And the reminder is that, you know, let's not be overwhelmed even by this, but how can we be grounded in the faith and not lose, in the face of all the stuff that's going on around us or within us, our peace, an interior peace, knowing that it's going to, you know, it's going to be under siege. We're going to find ourselves trying to maintain that peace. And that's where prayer comes in, and that's why prayer is very important. But if our prayer becomes a burden, then it's just adding to the stress, right? So she gives four prayers, and we'll take a break. We got to take another break. We'll come back and go right in to that, because the point is we want to keep Jesus as our point of reference, our person of reference. Keep our hearts open, keep our mind open, and preserve, safeguard that peace. Because if we don't have it, then in the midst of all this chaos and this confusion and this frenetic energy, we're not gonna properly witness, and we're called to witness as Catholics, as Christians. So we'll take another break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the Donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Okay, everybody, so if you're burned out, if you're run down, if you're stressed out,
that's
if
me.
You're confused, if you're, then how can we be grounded? And then you look at prayer and you think, I gotta, even that overwhelms me. I don't have the strength to pray. And that's part of the thing. Sometimes we don't have the strength even to pray, But, if we would just simplify, and this is, I think, something wise that needs to be shared. The Our Father, just the first example, pray in Our Father. Just pray it with feeling. This is the prayer that Jesus taught us, a way to dispel darkness and bring new life into the soul. I mean, you've got the seven petitions. We've talked about that often here on the radio. It's just acknowledging that, we do have a God who acknowledges us, who's in heaven, but among us. His name is holy. His kingdom comes. We ask, like that kingdom come, thy will be done, and not my will, but thy will. God knows best. He's got our back. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So it's a, putting trust in God, remembering that we're not the Messiah. We don't have to figure it all out. We have to bear responsibility, do what we can, but ultimately we lean into a God. So his name is holy, his kingdom come, his will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, provide what I need for today. That simple petition references the Eucharistic gift, food for the soul, that we not collapse, because Jesus said that, that feed them that they not collapse as they go on their way. So give us this day our daily bread, the Eucharistic gift. He'll provide what we need for the body. If we can just put our trust, Jesus says, you look at the birds in the sky, the flowers of the field. I care for the birds. I adorn the flowers. You're more important to me. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow hasn't come. Today has troubles enough of its own. I'm with you today. He says, you man of little faith, enough already. I'm with you today. We'll get through this day. And there's many, many different examples in the gospel where Jesus is trying to bring us to put that simple trust in him. I say simple trust because often it's not so simple, but we have to learn to trust. And so that's at the heart of the Our Father. And then forgive us as we forgive others. Save me from myself. Lead me not into temptation. Don't let me go the way of the flesh. By flesh, I don't mean just sex, but I mean the way of the world. Let me not lose myself. Let me lose myself. In a sense, yes, let me lose myself in you. Let me not lose myself in the frenetic stuff that's going on in the world, but let me lose myself in you. You are my peace. You are my security. You are my strength. You are my hope. You are my good beginning, my good end. So save me from myself and deliver us from the evil one, from evil. It is remember, it's always a spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. And so that, just acknowledging that, should motivate us to simple prayer. So the Our Father has those just simple but very profound seven petitions. If we just pray that and just pray it slowly and just think about each of those petitions, that would be one way of de-stressing. But know that it's ours is an incarnational spirituality. We're actually in relationship with a living person, the person of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that would be one thing. Look for Christ in each person. When you're not able to pray, it's like we're just, all right, let's put all this other stuff aside and just look at the person I'm meeting today, right now, right here. And we got to remember this. So I'm here, I'm looking at you, Tony. I see Nick. I've got my eyes on the people I can't see who are listening. And I guess this is good for me to say, okay, you don't expect me to be the Messiah. So let's just, let's have this conversation. We're going to get through this together. Christ is in you, Christ is in me, we're God's people, and so what can we do to serve each other? You go to the grocery store, you're in the car, you know, you're on the street, whatever, you're in the home. Like, is this the woman who writes this article, she talks about, you know, just being overwhelmed with the lack of time for prayer, and she's stressed out, and so she realizes that, you know, as she's preparing food for her children, she's preparing food for Christ. In other words, let me see Christ in these, my children, and let this be part of my prayer. And I think there's something to be said for that, absolutely. When I look for Christ in everyone I encounter, I'm making an unspoken act of faith. I'm able to love him through loving them, you know? So, and we have rough edges. We've all got our issues we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, so we acknowledge that, you know, so I suggest you forgive me if I'm all this, you know, always rambling or here and there, and every, you know, my thoughts are all over the place. Well, this is my reality with you right now, and every day, every time I come on the radio, so we're trying to figure this out, you know, how do we move from here to there. Another thing is just simply say the name of Jesus. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Psalm 124. Our help is in the name of the Lord. His name is the infinite prayer. Jesus, mercy, I trust in you. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, what? Just the name Jesus. And I have to say quite honestly, this is perhaps the prayer that I pray most often. Is just this constant calling out, so that even in the chapel this morning, as I'm in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, I'm just inundated and overwhelmed by the information in front of me, the work that's waiting for me, and it's just Jesus, I trust in you. You're going to have to fix this for me because I can't right now. I can't. I don't think you want this for me right now. This sense of being discombobulated or being stressed to the point of sickness, you know, not able to focus, not able to think. This isn't what, you don't want this for me. And so it's just, you know, put aside, you know, I was even trying to pray the rosary. Mm-hmm. I got to get this rosary done. Put it aside. Just focus. Put your attention to me. Know that I gaze on you in a loving way, and as a priest told me once, you know, put aside the cape. You know, you're not Superman.
Right.
Put aside the cape. Let me take you by the hand. We're going to get through this. And we do. We're doing it right now. I hope. You know, but the simple name of Jesus. I put my trust. There's things we can't control in life. Life is overwhelming at times, today more than ever, because it's just too much. So we've got to create that space. But you say, I don't have the space, I don't have the time. No, just as you breathe in the name Jesus. You know, it's just this, the air. We can't live without the air. You know, we don't see the air, but we can't live without it. Same thing with God. God is present. God is aware. But he didn't hold anything back in telling us that life is going to be difficult. It is a way of the cross. It is a narrow path. And suffering is, nobody's going to avoid it. You know, it's just how we allow him in that suffering, however or whatever it may be, you know, it's staying with him. You know, why would we detach from the Savior, the Redeemer? Why would we? Yeah, because we don't trust, you know? You got to be there. Call on his name. That name has infinite power and strength. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, have mercy on me. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Okay? So just the name Jesus. Let that just be your prayer. Let it just mill over your hearts, you know? And it'll be calming. You know, it's better than a drug, right?
Yeah.
So... and then the last thing that she suggested, it's so true as well, focus on a single verse of Scripture.
That's true.
You know? And, you know, the Gospel of John, she would suggest, and I say that's, I've always point people to the Gospel of John. It's so beautiful. But she brings out the first chapter, verse 5. She says, start reading the first chapter of John, one verse a day, that's all. And when you get to John 1, 5, you will be absolutely blown away by its power. Because what does it say? It says, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We've survived, and we will continue to survive. We've just got to go in. Here's leaning into the light. As I said, lean into Jesus. Lean into the light. Open your life, your hearts to the, your soul, your spirit to the Spirit of God. But that, you know, to trust that the light shines in darkness. This does not negate the darkness. There is darkness in life. There is stress. There is oppression. There is trial and tribulation. There is the sickness of the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. This is, we're in the exile, you know. And we've, in this, we've all got to bear responsibility for the well-being of the whole. Take care of each other. But we got to do it in, with, and for, and through God. So the light shines in darkness. The darkness does not overcome it. Nick says we got to take another break. We'll take a final break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We at Winds of Change thank everyone who donated during our pledge drive. Please keep us in your prayers and on the air by donating at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And click on the radio tab to donate securely to Winds of Change.
Thank you.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
All human life is precious, and all humans are created equal. But not all vitamins are created equal. One company's vitamins stand taller than the rest. At For Life Vitamins, we promote health from the womb to the tomb and support the pro-life movement. Dr. Christosik created For Life Vitamins to optimize your healthy habit of taking vitamins and protect the health of unborn children, the infirmed, and the elderly by donating 10% of sales to support Father Bush's life-changing ministry. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 888-879-1190. Dr. Christosik has helped over 13,000 patients reclaim their health with For Life's vitamins. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190. Simply change your vitamin company and save a life. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up. So I'm not saying not to pray the rosary. You know, the rosary is a beautiful prayer, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying not to pray the rosary, not to pray novenas, not to pray the chaplet. We pray the chaplet every day at the end. It's very calming, too, by the way. After the Mass, we pray the chaplet at the end of the day. But I'm saying at times, as she says, this Mara McKeegan is her name. She says, if your soul is tired and weary, be gentle with yourself. And this is so true. You cannot climb a mountain when you can barely catch your breath to begin. When you cannot scale great heights, the Lord waits for you in the valley, where he makes you lie down in green pastures, lead you beside still waters, and restores your soul. In the valley of simplicity, you will find rest. It's so true.
It is.
You know, and this is what I say when we take the stress, the stuff of life, and we then compound that when we complicate our faith journey, our prayer life. Jesus says, and St. Paul repeats this, pray constantly. In fact, Jesus said to you, it's, if we could remember this, he says, when you pray, he says, go into the inner chamber or go into your room, shut the door, and pray. But he says, you don't have to say anything. He says, your Father already knows what's going on. He knows. I mean, we pray because we need to voice our prayers. We certainly, we pray, we intercede. You know, there's prayers, but prayer is this being. In fact, taking from Scripture, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Just be still and know that I am God. Be still. Know that I am. Be still. Be. Just be, you know. God is there. God is here. But we've got to come away. And it's very hard today for people to come away from the noise. We've got to come away from that noise. The cacophony of the world will not, it's the rude noise of the world, will not shout into silence the voice of the living God. So yes, in fact, yes, we are indeed, we're in this world. We're going to be affected. We're going to be influenced. We're going to be victimized. We may be the perpetrators of hurt for others, God forbid, but we do. We don't mean to sometimes, but we do. That's why we've got a, you know, discernment is so important. That's why the more we spend time in the company of Christ and basically say, you know, I can't do it. I give you my life, and persevere in that. In humility. Humility is saying, I can't do it. I need you. I need you to lift me up. And so that lifting up is, you know, surrendering, you know, entrusting, giving one's life over to God and just leave it then in His hands. Yeah, we have to bear with the responsibilities of life. We got work to do. But even as we're in that work, let us lean into God. That came through in Scripture. Some time ago, caught my attention, and I've talked about it from here, you know, from time to time, but I like that, you know, lean into God. Just lean into Him. The Our Father, the name Jesus, sacred Scripture.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Look to others. Find Christ or serve Christ in others. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We will be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when right from become so obscure, it does not take the